We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to episode 578 of the Barcelona Podcast, brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Dave Hilton, and a 1-0 win over Cadiz is just about what my nerves and the doctor ordered before Tuesday's second leg with PSG. Of course, I want to thank the patron before I get into anything with these five headlines, including the new ones this week. So thank you to them. As little as $3, you get these shows without the ads over on Patreon. And please, if you can't do that, subscribe and give this video a like or give a nice review on your favorite podcast app. Because if you haven't been checking your feed and you just checked for the five headlines, then you missed the PSG second leg preview that I already came out with yesterday. So with all of us out of sorts, let's do it. The five headlines from Barca's 1-0 win over Cadiz. Headline one is full rotation. It's a tough thing when you want to complain about watching a team play or, oh, they don't look like Barcelona or anything like that, when you know that it's going to be full rotation. And as much as Xavi might have done lip service about this game mattering, and of course you want to make sure that kind of everything is all left to play for in El Clasico, it's still not really, because you need that game and all 3 points against Real Madrid to even take it to five to make it interesting. Of course, if Barcelona do not get all 3 points in El Clasico next week, then it doesn't really matter at all. So that's why this game, of course, was going to be full rotation. That's what we got. Ori Romeu, hadn't seen him start for 2.5 months. Marcos Alonso, hadn't seen him in how many months? 3-4 months? And this is his first start in 5 months. Ferran Torres, he got his first start, believe it or not, in 3 months. And Vitor Roque, he got his first start in 2 months. So all eyes, I thought, from this match were going to be on Vitor Roque, Hector Ford, of course, the young guys. And then we thought Mika Faye was going to get his chance, but that wasn't to be. But I'll talk about that in a future headline. Instead of putting all of our attention on the young players, I guess you could use it as another tryout for the likes of Alonso, Romeu, Felix, maybe Torres, and see what you have for next season. But I'm not sure if this game matters a whole lot more than every day in training does, as well as whoever replaces Xavi, because he's been pretty dead set on leaving. So whatever new manager comes in, and if they can make it work with Felix's contract, if Alonso doesn't find another offer elsewhere, same thing for Romeu. So I think there's a lot of other things that are moving around with the money situation and other things with a new coach that would dictate their futures much more, much, much more than this game. The one thing that did pique my interest from that starting 11, though, was Cubarsí on the right, as in the right center back. And I think because Xavi, or Oscar Hernandez on the touchline for this one, they knew that they were going to need to break down a block with Cadiz. As much as Cadiz wanted to go for this game because they're 3 points in the relegation zone and 5 points behind Rayo Vallecano, 3 behind Celta, so they were going to be fighting for this one at home. But still, the way they have to play, because they don't really have any potent finishers, is they have to play at the low block and then try to get you out on transition using their speed. So I did like the option of having Cubarsí on his natural right side to deliver the best possible balls, and we did see a lot of that in this game. I thought it was kind of his sloppiest game, but I thought overall it was one of the sloppiest games that Barcelona have played in months now, because Barcelona have not conceded a goal in the Liga since the end of February. So the team as a whole has been in fine form, and with a full rotation, I expected some chemistry issues, and that's what we got, including Cubarsí, who also still somehow found a way to have moments that were really impressive, including in the first 5 minutes, requiring a cleanup on a cross and then breaking through that midfield line of Cadiz moments later. Third minute, too, as we got this game started, Vitor Roque also had space to drive forward, got off a long shot, I wrote that down because unfortunately that was maybe the major moment for Vitor Roque in this match, other than kind of slowing things down to start the second half and getting fouled a bunch of times by those overeager Cadiz defenders and midfielders. Because we knew that the team from Andalusia wanted to sit with five at the back and then try to switch play quickly and get out on the counter. Alonso was pushing high in that 6-3-2 that Barcelona uses that we saw a lot with Gabi and Balde at the start of this season. But Alonso was pushing high to try to pin them back and get as much possession as you could, which Barcelona did have over 65% possession. I guess in theory the game plan worked. Headline 2 is snail's pace. Now it didn't entirely work because for that game plan to work, you're going to need A, really good balls delivered in behind especially, and two, you're going to need guys to be making those runs. So part one of that is I did see some good early balls from Alonso. He was also delivering a few on set pieces, not as much from the first few corners in the first half, but of course, he winds up picking up the assist on a really good delivered corner to Felix. Well, actually, we'll get to that because I take that back immediately. But his ball delivery had to be good, as I said, and he had to be good on the ball because he isn't the quickest. So this is a Barcelona team that because of their issues, we'll say, in the speed category, they had to make sure they were moving the ball quicker. So when the ball wasn't moving quickly, then everything, Cadiz included, because while they were quick on their feet, they weren't necessarily moving the ball quickly at all. And as I had said, chemistry wasn't at a premium with this 11, but that is expected with a unit that has never started a game together, so I don't really blame them for this one being a bit of an eyesore. There was a half chance early in the first half by João Félix that went wide, and that was basically it in the first 20 minutes. Nothing really happened. The ball was barely on Barca's right side at all, by the way, with Ferran Torres, and Fort was also staying at home. To what should be said about Cadiz, their dangerous Alex Fernandez, as well as former La Masia player Robert Navarro, they were shading to the left to create the numbers game and try to press Fort. And there were times when I think he was being a bit more reserved and kind of just pinging the ball away. And then he did take his moments and step forward, as I'll get to in a second. There was also a similar direct approach with the football from Barcelona that we even saw against PSG, trying to break down and go over top of that block instead of trying to go through it. But if you're not winning your 50-50s, which Barcelona weren't necessarily doing, Vitor Roque isn't the tallest number nine, and maybe that just isn't his game just yet. That might come along. And then Fermín López, the same thing. He wasn't winning any 50-50s, and he was kind of the one shading to the center to be tasked to win those, and that's just not his game. So that meant that anytime Vitor Roque and Fermín López got the ball in the middle of the field, they were immediately looking to shoot the moment that they almost touched the box because they weren't going to be seeing a lot of the ball from long balls, so they kind of took their opportunities. And as far as the running in behind issue, that is, as I've said, how to get behind a deep block. But João Félix doesn't do that naturally. And Torres was kind of waiting for that diagonal, and then it rarely came. It did on occasion, but now he's playing the ball to feet and trying to get in behind. And Roberto and Romeu, they couldn't get forward either because they don't have the speed to get back. Now, Roberto did get forward, and when he did get into the box, good things happened for Barcelona, but that was far and few between. And then neither Fermín, Roberto, or Romeu are premium with their line-breaking or through-ball passes much at all. So they all do different things well, but they don't dictate games with their feet. And once again, that's why this game was a bit of an eyesore. And for those who also say that it was Vitor Roque's job to be running in behind, those balls just weren't coming to him today. He was making the runs for a while there, but because the balls weren't coming, it's not that he stopped those runs, but then he tried to tuck in a little bit more and create numerical advantages in the middle of the field, which did gum up the game, especially there to start the second half. But because he didn't have service and was just kind of running out there, same as Rafinha would or Lewandowski or Torres or any forward not named Lamine Yamal or João Félix, when he feels like it, is in the mood, any Barcelona forward without service is going to struggle. And that's actually most forwards around world football. Watch Erling Haaland, the same thing. Guy doesn't get service, things don't happen. And Vitor Roque isn't that Brazilian that's going to create on his own. That's not who he is. He's not the Neymar. He's not the Vinny Jr. He's not even the Rodrigo. He's a number nine who's going to put himself on the end of balls and make runs in behind. And of course, the rest of his game will come along. But because of the circumstances surrounding this match, I don't think this is a win or a loss or anything for Vitor Roque. This is kind of just, hey, another game to get accustomed to what's going on around Barcelona. Cadiz, meanwhile, they do have some quick players, though, that Barcelona had to look out for. Chris Ramos is lightning, and if Cadiz is relegated, I think another club would probably love to take a chance to hope to teach him a few things to make him dangerous and numerically productive.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Headline 3 is mixed bag from Fort. Aside from Roque, Fort was the other player that I was obviously really wanting to evaluate here and take something from the performance. And it was kind of a mixed bag, which is a bit unfortunate because he was playing in his more natural right side as opposed on the left side where he's actually been better for the first team and the only appearances he's made for the first team. The 35th minute and kind of into the 37th, 38th, even though, yes, the goal was scored in between these two incidents, but that stretch there kind of summed up the youngster's performance today for me. He had a really good move to get the tackle near the end line in the 35th minute, made a dribble move to get himself some space, going back towards his own goal, just comfortable on the ball enough to do that. And you haven't heard me mention Arnau Martínez in a while, by the way, because all the things I really liked about him, I think Fort does have variations of all of those different things that Arnau Martínez, who hasn't really, because he's had some injuries this season, Girona kind of had the year they did, and Couto was the player that they more relied on that side, whether he was playing as a wing back or as the right back in the four-back situation that they were playing at times. Arnau Martínez has kind of been the backup at Girona, so he's kind of seen his stock go down, as Hector Fort, who's free, obviously, he's from the academy, you just obviously have to give him a renewal at some point at 17 to give him that 18-year-old contract. But he's been the player, even at 3 years younger, 4 years younger, whatever it is, that I would hope that Arnau Martínez would have cost you some kind of transfer fee for. Right after the goal, he did make a mistake trying to get the ball to Ter Stegen, but like Cubarsí and Lamine Yamal, mistakes by 17-year-olds are a lot more forgivable than older players. But in the second half, too, there were quite a few little mistakes here and there, just not feeling comfortable, and I get why Xavi pulled him. I think he pulled him even to protect him. Defensively, I thought he was fine, which is usually with young fullbacks the big issue, but defensively, I think he is really astute to getting into a tackle. He shapes his body well defensively, but I thought he was a bit too casual playing out of the back with the ball, or when it was time to get forward, he didn't really do that. He was being a bit passive at times. So picking his spots a bit better in what is his more natural right back position, he might have actually been even in his own head, where on the left side, he says, okay, this is only what I can do because it's what I know how to do. But on the right side, because he's a bit more comfortable, might have just even been decision paralysis. I've got too much on my mind. This is also me making an excuse for a 17-year-old, which if you've been listening to me for any bit of time, you know I'm going to be doing until the cows come home. Headline 4 is Buena Bicicleta. I did look up that I've been doing my Portuguese a little bit, and I can do grazie and those little words, but bicicleta, whether it's in Spanish or Portuguese or Catalan, it's the same thing. That's bicycle. And this was not even good, but this would have been gran bicicleta because this bicycle kick, if I wasn't going to do a 5 headlines, which I did consider it with a busy day, but I had to because it was something special here. Because I don't even want to talk about Joao Felix and his season or the future or anything like that. I'm not going to worry about any of that today. I don't have the time. So I'm really just going to focus on what is one of the goals of the season, not only for Barcelona, but in the Liga as well. Javi Hernandez was pushing him from behind. Isa had his head in there. This was as good as it gets by Joao Felix. Absolute class. The only luck involved in this was that Alonso's corner, while it didn't beat the first man because Alex Fernandez headed it backwards, Joao Felix, no luck involved here. He still had to adjust to it. So adjusting to that while getting pushed by Javi Hernandez and getting yourself lined up, getting the right contact on that ball, wonderful all around, top class, good stuff. And he does have that in his boots sometimes, occasionally. And the class, when he does have it occasionally, is of the highest order. And that goal was an example of that. What a goal. And what a nightmare it also would have been if Isa's histrionics had actually ruled the goal out. Because the way it would have been ruled out is if he had actually been hit and he would have needed to put his head in there for that to happen. But he didn't. So no contact was made. VAR, good on them to see that. And then deciding, no, didn't make contact with him. So we're not even calling it a dangerous boot because Joao Felix was getting pushed by Javi Hernandez. I think that was the idea. Thank goodness, because this game needed a goal. It was also nice to see Rafinha celebrating with him afterwards. The players, you could tell, they feel united at the moment, which is a huge positive heading into PSG. 44th minute, Barca could have had their second. Roberto, in one of those rare moments I mentioned, he got forward, headed across to Fermín López, and it was saved up the line by the old Fabregas talent, Victor Chust. Some of the good things with that Fermín shot, got past the keeper because he tried to go far post, but probably want to go near post in that circumstance. And as I said, that chance came because Roberto decided to affect the game in his legs instead of his passing, which was a good sign heading into halftime. Also, right before halftime, Wanmi almost caught Cubarsí out, but Ter Stegen read the bounce well to collect, which is really all Ter Stegen had to do in that first half. And then headline 5, all eyes on PSG. Let's talk second half now. And you notice I only have one headline left because that's really what I feel about the second half. Honestly, there's a lot less to talk about here in the final 45 minutes and not really in a good way. Or Romeu, oh man, I don't know what to say for him. Barca arguably held together better when Casado came on to help him. I know he didn't replace him on the field and he played the full 90, but Casado added some balance that wasn't even there before. But when it comes to even winning the 50-50s and getting the ball forward and kind of controlling a game, that's not who Fermín is. And that's really not what Roberto was asked to do in this game either. But when Casado came on, it did kind of showcase more how limited Romeu is at this point and what he can do. He doesn't do the things he's supposed to do well enough to commit to playing him. And it's not that he's terrible in any one way, but he doesn't provide enough of his own strengths to cancel out what he doesn't do for the team. And while he didn't play in the game, I'll have to mention too here that poor Mika Faye, because with all the words by Xavi during the pregame presser and then Oscar Hernandez beforehand, it seemed like Mika Faye was going to get a shot. And if Fermín had scored that goal in the first half, then he would have likely made his debut. But unfortunately, he's going to have to wait. Instead, it was just four players that could use some minutes just to stay loose before PSG, Rafinha, Pedri, Koundé, and Lamine Yamal coming on to also shore up those 3 points. Plus, with Casado coming on late, that's your five. But I do expect to see Faye pretty soon, especially if Barca fail to win El Clasico and close the gap to five, because if it's 11 points after El Clasico, he'll get his opportunity for no other reason than to show him that the club sees him in their future and to show the club how he can adapt to the top level with first team teammates. So a little bit for him, a little bit for the club. This game was also pretty ugly late, but I did like how Pedri retains the ball per usual. It makes me worried that he's going to get hurt, of course, to the point of scaring me when he's on the ball and enticing those fouls from Cadiz when he didn't have a way out, but that's the kind of winning plays that get you 3 points when, as Alonso said in the postgame, you just kind of have to suffer down the stretch. There's also an important full stretch late save by Ter Stegen in the 79th minute. The only reason this game ended in a clean sheet with all 3 points was because of the German goalkeeper, who now makes 6 straight clean sheets in the Liga and going into PSG as well. Like the rest of his teammates, he is also in fine form. Barcelona as a unit, as a whole, individually, this game, as I said, we throw it out because this is not the Barcelona who's going to be playing against PSG, who also had the weekend off. So Barcelona, you could say we got the 3 points and we largely pretty much rested our entire team. So I think they can be happy with this result. For more on PSG, you can check out the podcast I did with PSG Talk. We did one yesterday on my feeds and then a different one on his feed. So plenty of preview content to check out if you didn't see it. I didn't talk much about Dembélé on my show, but I really got silly with the Figo talk on PSG Talk and what I do expect to see when he's back in front of Barcelona fans at Most Week on Tuesday. So you can find that in audio form wherever you get your podcast, PSG Talk, for that one. And then, of course, on these feeds, wherever, for the show we had. Twitter and Instagram, then, the Barcelona Podcast for me. Patrons, again, a big thank you to all of you, especially the new ones that keep allowing this to be happening. As the team has more success, after all this time, I know it's like, oh, there's not going to be new people, but there is, because people like winning. And if Barcelona, if they get to the semis of the Champions League, if they get to the final, if they, you know, an act of God happens and they win the Champions League this season, that's going to bring in more fans. That's going to grow the community. So I appreciate everybody who's been with me through the bad times, and hopefully there are good times ahead. So most importantly, thanks so much for listening to the show. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon. The Forza Barca.